again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. We greet you from the border crossing of the United States, coming in from Canada into the U.S. on our way down to Portland, Oregon. And I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't greet you alone this time, because this time in the vehicle, in this drive time, Pat.
What's up, Pat?
Hey, how you doing? Everything's good here. We are going down to Portland.
So we're making a move down, crossing to and fro. And, you know, a lot's going on right now in the world. A lot is going on all over the place. And, you know, one thing that's important is with all that takes place in the world, we always encourage you guys to keep on track, to keep your focus in the right place, to keep your heart and your mind centered in the things that are God's. Because we know and we've understood pretty well that the world vies for your attention all the time. The world, you know, is looking to try to grab your mind, shape your thoughts, and to transform you into whatever it is that it wants you to be, and to make you the opposite of what God intended you to be. Because God created you in His image and His likeness for His purposes and for His reason and the reason for existence that He has for you, as compared to what the world tries to do, which is to distort what God has made and to make it something else and to twist it so far that, you know, at the end, there's nothing left that can be done but for it to just be destroyed, because it doesn't resemble anything of what God made, and it doesn't, and it becomes an abomination. So, I mean, we see this taking place right now in the world in a cosmic, or global scale, I should say, you know, as part of a cosmic conspiracy taking place, you know, with demonic forces working in the spiritual realm through human agents to carry out a demonic agenda on the earth and against mankind in such a time as we live in now. Now, one thing that you got to know is that the children of God have power, and we've been given authority by our Father who's in heaven. We've been given authority because we live and move and have our being in Christ Jesus, who is I Am. We've been given authority over the things that happen in this realm and in this dimension. This is where a lot of times people have been very much disserviced by organized religion, because religion has put everybody, wrapped them up into their heads and into their brains, and separated them from, you know, actually being, their entire being what it is that God made them to be. Their entire being, you know, empowered by Him in just flowing with who it is that He has made us to be. You know, God intended for you to know His presence, know His Spirit, walk with Him. And rather, you know, what the world has tried to do, and even through, you know, the guise of religion, which, as Scripture talks about, has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. You know, a lot of times, if you look at most religions in the world, a lot of them have a form of godliness but have no power. And then a lot of times when people then want to go and find power, because they don't find it in the religions and in the head trips that they're part of, when they want to find power, they go over to the dark side. They go over to the demonic. They go over to the witch doctor, the Sastakarya, the people practicing Santeria, the, you know, you voodoo, whatever. You know, you can call it all the different names, but it's still the same dark source. It's still that source that is, you know, against light, against truth, against what God has made. So, but the problem is all of that is a distraction and is a diversion to keep people away from the truth that sets them free, the light that sets them free, the way that sets them free. You know, God puts His people on a path, on a way that actually it sets them free. It gives them, you know, a new state of existence, a new state of being, a new reality. And part of that reality is you have power. You have incredible power over all that takes place in the world. You have incredible power to pray. And, you know, true prayer by the saints of God is something that is By and large, 99% of the people out there do not access the power they truly have in the Spirit of God. You know, the, most people, they'll pray about the things going on in their lives and the immediate affairs of their life. And, you know, that's understandable because that's what's going on with you. You know, so whether it's, you know, work or you know, different relationships or you know, things that are on your mind or health or whatever. You know, but people, most of the time, their prayers are constricted to their limited individual sphere of life. But the thing that you need to know is that you actually have tremendous power to affect all that goes on in the earth. And when you pray and when your prayer is in line with the Spirit of God, it clicks into a gear that can affect nations, can affect what takes place. And this is why people fear the prayers of the saints, because they know that if the saints pray, that prayer affects things, that prayer changes things, that prayer can shut down a nation. And, you know, the things that are in the scriptures, like, you know, the story of Elijah, you know, and Ahab. I mean, this was, you know, a man of God who was just like you, just like me, that knew the power of the Spirit of God, prayed, and that nation did not see rain for 3 years. And, you know, and when God gave the word after the evil had been removed, you know, of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asher were removed, after that poor period and that point in time, that change that took place, you know, then God said, okay, you know, now I'll send the rain. And, you know, a lot of times too, there's a big thing in Scripture as well, is a lot of times it'll show there'll be a natural example of a spiritual reality. You know, the temple was a case in point. A lot of things were cases in point in Scripture. Look, and there's a lot of lessons for us to learn about the natural example that showcases a spiritual reality, which enables you and I to understand what God is doing in that realm. So in the natural example of a spiritual reality, you know, when the prophets and the preachers of Satanism are going forward, the land is devoid of rain, and that which gives life, and that which produces life, and that which sustains a place. And when it's removed, the rain can come again. You know, and God was showing an example so that you and I would understand. And there's places all over the world where, you know, people have sided with the devil, people have sided with the enemy for power. But the result has been that life is gone, because, you know, it's a branch that's cut off from the vine, because Christ Jesus is that vine, is that true way, is that power that sustains and grows, and we, you know, when we walk in step with Him, that's when life can flow. That's when the rain can come into your life. That's when the sunshine of God causes your life to grow, the things in your life to grow, the people around you to grow and to be sustained and to become what God intended them to be. So, you know, as we go about doing what God has for us to do, realize that like Elijah, you can make a stand. You know, you can stand for truth. You can put your shoulders back. You can come up against the highest forms of wickedness in any land, in any nation, and God will back you because you speak for Him. So you speak as an ambassador of the King of Kings. And though you may speak to even the very king of a nation, you speak as a representative of a higher authority. You speak as one that walks in step with a higher authority. And because of that, they must listen. And, you know, if they heed your word, then there's a chance for restoration. If they don't heed your word, then like Ahab, like Jezebel, they were destroyed. And they were destroyed because of they reaped what they sowed. They were destroyed because that which they had done, that which they had put into the ground, came back to them. You know, literally the blood that soaked the ground, like you know, the man whose vineyard I think it was Nahab. There was the one who's Ahab stole his vineyard, and Jezebel worked with, you know, together, conspired against an innocent man, and his blood soaked the ground. And God even said, the very place where his blood soaked the ground, Ahab, your blood is going to soak the ground. You know, you don't get away with anything. People don't get away with things. That's the thing that people don't understand. With all these people that do things, and they think that, okay, by doing wickedness by proxy, you know, by sending somebody else to go do it, but somebody else does their dirty work, that they're okay. No. If you order the death of somebody, if you eliminate somebody, if you are the person responsible for some innocent person's demise, that person's blood is on your own hands, whether you pull the trigger yourself or whether you did it by proxy, by ordering somebody else, you're still accountable and you still reap what you've sown. And Ahab, his blood soaked the ground in the very place that he was part and parcel of the execution of a man that was innocent. And for what? Just because he had something that they wanted. He had all, and that's the thing too. So often with worlders, they're very spoiled, very materialistic, and they go into a sulk when they don't get what they want. But, you know, God will take care of his people, and God will settle scores. God will always watch out for those that walk with him. But you and I, right now, in this time, part of God's call for you and I is to stand as a witness, stand as a truth speaker, stand as one that does the will of God in the earth at such a time as this. You are called to speak and to pray. You're called to speak the word of God, and you're called to pray. And your prayers affect things. Your prayers change what happens in nations and lands. So, you know, as you pray, realize that your prayer makes a difference. As you pray, realize that, and don't lose heart, realize that God uses what you do to affect change. Because you and I, we are the bridge and from that which is spiritual into that which is natural. God works through us to accomplish his purposes. That which is in the realm of spirit, he uses us to accomplish it into the natural. But it's a good time, and oh, it's a blessing to also, in the midst of all this time, to be with your brother in Christ, fellow soldier, fellow walker on this journey, Brother Patrick Kabongo, on the road doing our thing, and part of the Faith Mix team. Pat, what's the good word, man?
Live in the moment. Keep pressing on. All those things are shifting around the world, although bad things may happen to you or to the situation you're in, or to keep on pressing on him, because he's the one that changes things. He's the one that moves the way, whatever needs to be moves the way, and he's the one that adds on whenever there's a need to add on. I think in these days we just gotta keep our focus on him and really honestly and truly live in the moment that we are, you know, and in the moment, because the tomorrow is not guaranteed at all, and the past can only sometimes bring you down, put you at a stage of depression. So live in the now. Living in the now, I think it's one of the biggest things, I think, for me. I've been trying to do more and more, and just trusting him that he can do whatever your needs are, you know, according to his plan, right? It's amazing sometimes to, when you really sit down and you really think about what you need and what you want, you know, a lot of our needs are already met, right? And we don't even realize that sometimes, because we just focus on what we want, and the want sometimes may not be the best for you. The want may bring you to a place of death. The want may may bring you to a place of sin, you know. But you know, even in this time that we live right now, it's true believers are the real shakers of this world, right? Because as they go and plead to a father, things move in this world because of them too. And to realize that our God is not a million miles away, but he's right here with us. The kingdom is within. Like our brother Seth talks about often, the kingdom is within us. You know, we have great power within. And I think a lot of times believers forget that. They get deceived by what the enemy makes them believe. They get deceived by some situation they have been in, and they forget what kind of power they have. And it's really important that as a believer we always remember that, no matter what is our situation, no matter where we are in our walk, who is within us is greater than the one in the world.
Amen. And the thing too is, like, you know, it's like Pat was saying as well, is like, you know, the devil works to get you to think a certain way, because, you know, where the head goes, the body will follow. Where the mind goes, you know, the enemy can shape the person that you are if he can get control over your thought. If he can get control over the way that you think. He can now, you know, monkey see, monkey do. He will get you to become an animal. He will get you to think like the world, act like the world, be that way, and destroy you. Now, we were talking about this the other day, you know, Pat and I, when we were hanging out, if you had $5 million in the bank, right? But you didn't know you had that. And there was even a card where you could access that money. But you didn't know you had that, or you didn't believe that the card would work, and so you never used it. Well, you could go through your entire life, and that money's just sitting there waiting, but you never used it. You never used that tool that was available to you. You never accessed it. And as a result, you go through life maybe struggling and trying to piece everything together, but you never used that tool that was there for you. And then you pass on, and then, you know, maybe after you died, you realize, oh wow, this was there sitting there all the time for me, and I never used it. Well, you know, there's a ton of stuff like that there for you as a child of God that's in the Word. And the access point is the Spirit of the living God that empowers you. The access point is being in Christ Jesus, who is I am. You're being in that place. You walk in the name of Jesus, and you're able to access, you know, your spiritual bank account, if you would. The gifts of God flow. The gifts of God flow when you walk in Him, when you are, you know, living in I am, living in the now, living in that place of who He is and who you are in Him right now. And that includes, there is no past, there is no future. You know, with eternity, what is eternity? Is eternity endless time? No, it's not. It's actually the removal of the illusion of time. Because when we step into eternity, the thing that we see right now, for example, with time, is time came into being with the fall. There was no time before the fall. You know, mankind was. Adam was just there. He was doing his thing in the garden. There was no split in his mind, you know, to have the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't have that, you know, new voice speaking to him, talking to him. He didn't have that voice in his head that all of us need to master, because that's not us. That's part of the fall. That's not who you are and I am. You need to have the mind of Christ, not that voice. And also, the illusion of time started then. Because also, death and decay started then. There was no death and decay before that. So the illusion of time started, death and decay started, people came into the world and left the world. All of that started with the fall. So when we step out of this life, when we step into eternity at the close of this life, when we leave this window that we're here, you step into being who you really are for all eternity. And that's why, too, you know, the people that give themselves over to the world, they become, you know, part and parcel of the world. And they become part of the world's reality after this life is over. The worlder's reality after this life is over, which is separation from the living God, which is eternity in darkness, which is, which is hell. And, you know, Jesus came into the world and offered another way. The kingdom of God is in hand. Repent. You know, be saved. Repent. Turn. And let your life be changed. Let your light shine. Let the God who loves you and made you and created you and fashioned you, let Him flow through your being, and everything that you were made to be, let it come into reality. You know, access your inheritance while you're here. You know, you can walk in your inheritance while you're here in this life. You were not made to live a subsistence life. You were made to live an abundant life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You were made to live an abundant life. And part of an abundant life, too, is to live with purpose, to live with meaning, to live with a reason for being, to have a reason for your existence here in the earth. Every moment that you're here, for it to be empowered by His Spirit, and to be able to walk with Him and to know Him, and to be free from the power of darkness and sin and the devil. Look, nothing in this world can master you, because you've been given a greater power by the Spirit of God, that you can walk out of anything that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. You can walk out, you can be separate, you can touch not the unclean thing and God will receive you. You've been given that power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, you've been given that power by Him to put to death everything in your life that keeps you from being who God wants you to be. You don't have to be anything that God doesn't want you to be. You can be exactly what He made you to be, and you can grow in that. You can go from glory to glory and from strength to strength, and you can enjoy the abundant life. So Pat, living in the now, what is some ways, okay, what are some of the traps of the devil to try to keep people out of that? What are some of the things that you've seen that the devil does to keep people from being who God made them to be and getting them wrapped up in His game plan and getting their minds somewhere else? What's some things that you see the enemy doing?
You know, I could see him working in the media, in the TV, pass on some subliminal messages, and the people to soften certain mindset or to lower our standards of living through the music that we listen to. You know, even to things like social media, Twitter, Facebook, all these things. He uses these alleys so he can access more people. He can access more souls. And he can, you know, so he can try to bring people down. Bring the spirit down, you know. You know, it's even when you watch TV or the news, you hear so many sad stories all the time. And after a while, all these sad stories just started to become normal to you. You know, these are some of the things he has used, you know, to soften our heart, for us not to be sensitive about what's going on around the world. So, these are some of the things you use, just to mind control people, to bring people down. You know, one thing I was talking with Govinda a while ago was just that, you know, the battle has been won. we are conquerors. You know, we are, God already defeated Satan. The only thing Satan is trying to do right now, because he knows he's going down, is to bring people down with him.
Yeah.
And I think exactly the only thing he should try to do. Through all these different alleys, you know, just through some family friends, through some friends that you have, you know, he's trying to bring you down. He's trying to control your mind, control your emotion all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, with all the stuff that's around, one thing that's very important is for you to guard the gateways of your life, to guard the gateways which, you know, things come into and out of your being, what it is that you can do something about and where it is that you have a say. You know, for example, Job, I think it's either chapter 30 or 33, you know, the start of that chapter, where he talks about he made a covenant with his eyes, you know, that he would not look lustfully at a woman. Like, he made a deal with his eyes. And he told his eyes, and his eyes told him, and he made a deal with himself, basically saying, you know, I am not going to put certain things in front of my eyes, because I know the effect that it'll have on my spirit. I know the effect that it'll have on me. And that was part of, you know, I mean, scripturally, there's only three men that were called standards of righteousness. Job, Noah, and Daniel. I think that's right. I have to go back and check this one. But, I mean, but Job was a standard of righteousness. You know, and part of the way that he was a standard of righteousness is you know, for him, it wasn't about, for him it wasn't about, you know, this is right and this is wrong. For him it was about his walk with his Creator and him walking with his God with, you know, clean hands and a pure heart. And you know, for him, he wanted to guard his heart because, you know, out of it comes the issues of life. He wanted to walk in step with God in a way that pleased him. He wanted that. That was his desire. And, you know, when that is your desire, God will empower you by His Spirit for the fulfillment of that desire. And, you know, but your free will is involved, and you make a decision and you make a choice with that of what you're going to do and how you're going to walk that out. And with Job, that's what he needed to do. And as he did that, you know, God recognized that. God appreciated that. God, you know, saw that this man loved him. And that's also why Satan wanted to test him. You know, the devil wanted to test Job because, you know, because, hey, you know, here's a guy that even God says, you know, have you considered my servant Job? You know, this is a guy that walks with me. This is a guy that knows me. And even, you know, the devil was like, hey, you know, you just blessed him. All this stuff, all this blessing is the reason why. And you know what? For most people, that is the case. It wasn't the case for Job, and God knew Job's heart. That's why he allowed him to be tested the way that he was. But for most people, that is the case. You know, for most people, they love God when everything's going well, and they hate God when everything is going difficult. But, you know, God will still allow you to go through things in life, and the result of it is going to be more, even for you, a revelation of your own character, your own heart, where you are at with God. And if you're willing to go on that track with Him, He'll use those experiences of life to refine you, to work out the things in you that are keeping you from being what God intended you to be. And he'll cause all things to work together for the good of the called according to His purpose. God does that for us. But, you know, part of, there is a responsibility on our side. There's certain things that you and I can and should do. And the process of us doing that is us also working with His Spirit. And, you know, in connection with His Spirit, you know, God leads you by His Spirit. Look, when the Spirit of God quickens you to do something, just do it. You know, when He quickens you to do it, just, you know, pray that that becomes habitual in your life, that that becomes a habit, that that becomes something that, you know, you for yourself, you just, you, you, when you feel the leading and the guiding of His Spirit, that you just respond. And, you know, look, even if you make a mistake, you made a mistake trying to do what you believe God was calling you to do. So just keep doing it, you know. You'll learn His voice. You'll learn to walk with Him. And, you know, the thing about the walk of faith, the walk of faith is just one step of faith after another. You know, you just take one step of faith, and then you take the next one, and then you take the next one, and then you take the next one, and then pretty soon you find you're walking. That is what the walk of faith is. It's just one step of faith after another. And, you know, we've said it before, you can substitute the word faith for trust. You can take that word trust, and the word faith is the same word in Aramaic, and you can switch them out. So if you want to change them up, by trust, you know, the walk of trust is just one step of trust after another. You trust in God. You trust in the one that has you, the one that, you know, knows you, the one that, you know, your life is in the palm of His hands. And you put yourself out there, and you're like, Lord, all right, this is it. You know, if you don't show up, I'm done. I can't make it. But you trust Him to come through for you, and you see that He does. God always takes care of His people. And you know what? He loves it. He loves it when a child of His will trust Him and will put themselves out there for Him according to His word, His will, and His leading and His guiding. He loves it when you do that, because you put yourself out there and then you allow for Him to show up and for Him to do His part and for Him to show Himself strong. You allow for your relationship with Him to not be some static, boring, you know, placid thing, but it's actually a dynamic, vibrant existence where you trust Him and you see Him come through again and again. And He puts your life, launches your life on an amazing journey because, you know, you're His and you're walking with Him. That's how we live. That's how we roll. That's how we exist while we're here in this life and in the earth. So as we go on, you know, we just continue to encourage you, keep on keeping on, and do that which God has for you to do. Pat, any closing thoughts, man?
Keep on keeping on. That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, God bless you guys. You know, we'll check in with you again sometime in the near future. But, hey, keep on keeping on. Do what God's got for you to do. Trust Him. Just love what God's doing with you and in your heart, and be blessed. And and drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi to us there. You can also find us on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, you will find us there. So, yep, keep on keeping on. We love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.